Amen.
Amen. God is good. Amen. All the time. We have never done that. Y'all know that. Good. I'm excited to be here this morning. I'm excited of what God has shown me on the journey I've been on. So not last Sunday, but the time before that I preached about Proverbs 4:18, how the just shall be as a shining light. And then in five verses later, there's a verse I've memorized for years. I've known the verse, Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so it put me on a journey to research that as the next message. And so there was a message in between. Last Sunday, we heard about how to have a pure heart, pure meaning, pure like gold, without infirmities or dross, nothing singular in purpose, only serving God and honoring Him. I also shared how our heart is a triune heart, three components, mind, desires, and will. What will we choose? What do we seek after? What's in our heart? And so it brings me to today's message, guard your heart, taken from Proverbs 4:23, as I said. And some translations, this first part, say guard your heart, and that's where the title comes from. And again, I'd like to recognize a book that I mentioned last time that I read through, With All Your Heart, Orienting Your Mind, Desires, and Will Toward Christ by A. Craig Troxell. And so I'm going to divide today's sermon into four parts. The first part is the keeping of your heart. And there's two aspects in keeping your heart. There's the part about preserving. We need to preserve our heart, looking inward for to keep our heart in good shape would be like it's healthy, and you want to nurture it, and you want to keep it in good shape spiritually. And then the other thing is to protect it from the outside, from our flesh that lusts after things of this world, or from the enemy that seeks to devour. An example of this would be like a garden. So we have healthy plants. We plant some plants, we either plant seeds or somebody else has planted seeds, and we get the starts of tomato plants or pepper plants, and they need sunshine, they need water, they need fertilizer, they need good soil. That would be to preserve their health so that they grow in and produce fruit. And thinking of that, and earlier this year, we got like some pepper plants to plant out there. We always have pepper plants in our little garden, and it froze, and we didn't cover them with a sheet, and so they froze pretty hard. But there was a little bit left in them, and they came back. Even just now, there's maybe just a few jalapenos on there, and it didn't produce much. The frost got them, so we didn't. That would be more like protecting them, protecting from outside elements. Or sometimes you would put like maybe a fence around it if you're in a country and you have deer or whatever animals. So that's the idea of keeping our heart, preserving and protecting. So I'm going to first of all talk about preserving our heart, and we know that in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We can't know it. We can't totally understand it. It is bent towards evil. And so this heart doesn't want to do as it should. We need the transformation of Jesus in us. And we tend to overemphasize our good points and not look at our bad points. So we need to, like the psalmist did, cry out to God to search me, O God. Know my thoughts, try my heart, see if there be... Search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We need God to search our heart. A good way to preserve our spiritually healthy heart would be to nurture it, to grow in our faith, to read God's word, to pray, to associate with people of same like precious faith. And so I want to look at the Word of God being a comfort and an encouragement, always something there. It's the living water, the Word of God is. The Word of God is our daily bread. And the psalmist says that we should delight in... But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. So we need to every day, daily, look into God's word. And we also know that scripture is an inspiration, inspired by God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. And so the whole thing is there. The sustenance of what we need for a healthy heart, God has provided. If we just look into God's word and meditate, it's God-inspired. And it's not something that ever changes. It's relevant today. And we should probably even memorize it and study it and put it into our heart. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study God's word so we know what it says in whatever we face. And Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And so these are just tips of what really nurtures our heart for health, keeping our heart pure, preserving our spiritually healthy heart. And then we also need to protect our heart from fleshly desires that we were born with. We need to protect it from the enemy. Same as the Troxel says, just as we look inward to preserve our heart's soundness, we also look outward to protect the heart's safety. And 1 John 2:5 and 16, it describes what is in the world and what if we don't put any efforts forth, this is what we will do. This is what our heart gravitates towards. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. These are things that will draw us away from an unhealthy heart, from the enemy that wants to seek to devour us, and our eyes will go after these things. Ephesians 6, 11-12 says, we are to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I've thought of this quite a bit. If we could see the spiritual warfare we're in, if that were a movie, or like, how do I say that? If you could actually see the spirits fighting, it's a spiritual warfare, but we'd be astonished. It might awaken us when we see all that the enemy is doing and all the warfare that's going on. We need to watch and pray. There were several times in the Bible that we are told to watch and pray, and one is an example of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26:40-41. And he, Jesus, cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We must not only pray, but we must watch. Troxel says, we cannot anticipate every attack in the battle. Often there is no time to study or get our act together. The unseen temptation springs on us, and the surprise attack is underway. Hearts that keep watch will be ready. Christians who are not praying are Christians who are not watching for danger. They are not guarding their heart from enemy attacks. They are sleeping just like the disciples at Gethsemane. We need to keep our heart with all diligence. We need to protect from the outside. We need to preserve what's inside of us. And my next section is the gatekeeper of your heart. Our eyes and ears are gatekeepers of our heart. Gatekeepers allow entry or prohibit entry. So like Wednesday nights at Kids Club, we have what we call a doorman. And he keeps people from, a lot of kids, well, they want to drink and they want to need to use the restroom or whatever. And so it just keeps order. Or like a gated community, they may not have a guard. In Haiti, they do. There's guards at these gated communities. But like around here, you need to have a chip or something on your car or something that would let you pass. And so the eyes and ears are gatekeepers to our heart. We need to be like David. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. Psalm 131:1. We need to have a humble heart and eyes. And the tax collector in Luke 18, he bowed his head and looked down and pled to God, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." He was humble. And if we aren't humble, he will cut him off that hath a high look and a proud heart. Psalm 101:5. It was just interesting in my study how that heart, ears, and eyes were in the same passages several times. I'd like if we could turn to Deuteronomy 29 and read from there. Deuteronomy 29, read the first six verses. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, "Ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh, unto all his servants, and unto all his land, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to seek, and ears to hear unto this day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. Ye have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God." I like how the Message says in verse 4, the Message translation says, "But God didn't give an understanding heart or perceptive eyes or attentive ears until right now, this very day." And so the eyes and ears are also crucial to salvation, along with our heart. A similar passage is in Isaiah 6, 9 to 10. And he said, "Go and tell the people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." So we see there's three things related to conversion or health of our spiritual well-being. And I never knew this great of an importance in our spiritual well-being. I've known that we need to keep our hearts right with God, but really what enters into our eyes, what we allow to enter in, what we read, what we see, what we dwell on, what we take in, affects our heart. It's how we defile our heart if we look at wrong things, if we hear wrong things, if we listen to wrong podcasts. Watch and pray. Our spiritual eyes must be awake and alert to watch for danger, not drunk with worldly wealth, worldly lusts or things that pull us away, draw us away from God. Our physical eyes desiring forbidden fruit leads to danger, deception, and death. Let's look at the first sin in Genesis 3 and see how that went down. Genesis 3, verses 4 to 7. "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. In this instance, she had eyes and lusted after something. She desired something. She wanted something that she saw with her eyes. Her eyes, as the gatekeeper of her heart, had failed. She had desired something. Our heart, eyes, and ears determine our spiritual health. And if we can remember that, we can perhaps overcome Jeremiah 17:9, that we can hardly know. Our heart is deceptive, okay? And Jeremiah 17:9 says, and who can know it? Here are things that help us, ears and eyes. Numbers 15:39, that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring, meaning turning to other gods, idolatry, okay, not seeking God. And so our own heart and our own eyes that we were born with are bad. And last week I talked about some of those things where we need to make clear choices to keep our heart pure, such as Joshua 24:14, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. 1 Chronicles 22:19, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Or Daniel 1:8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. And so we know our heart is bent towards evil, our eyes are also. And if our eyes are, if we're having a problem with our eye gate, we need to deal with it. Job made a covenant with his eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. Troxel says, if your smartphone or computer is tripping you up, are they more important than your soul? When our vision has repeatedly failed us, we must cut off the path of temptation and take decisive action. We should make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, Romans 13:14. Instead, we should think strategically about how to protect our hearts. We must consider establishing safeguards, passwords, boundaries, walls, and forms of accountability. Then we must honor them. We need to do something about that. And one more passage I'd like to look at concerning our eyes as windows in Matthew chapter 6, if you want to turn to that, Matthew chapter 6. So I'm not thinking when they wrote this that they wrote with the headings. I have some headings. It's broken down. And like looking at this chapter, verses 1 through 4 is giving alms without being seen. Verses 5 to 15, Jesus teaches about how we are to pray. Verse 16 to 18 talks about fasting. Verse 19 to 24, laying up treasures in heaven. And then the rest of the chapter, not to worry, but to look to God for provisions. Somebody tell me, what do you have a heading above verse 19? What does? Okay, lay up treasures in heaven. Welcome. why don't we stand, and I'd like to read verses, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You may be seated. So we see here in verse 19 that our focus shouldn't be on material wealth. It will distract us. It will cause us to go astray. We need to focus on eternal value things. Verse 20, we are to store up treasures in heaven. And so I found a couple references here of heavenly treasures. What does that mean? Matthew 19, 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Luke 12, 33, 34, sell that ye have, give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And 1 Timothy 6, 17, 19. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. We know that money is necessary to survive, but there's, and God even blesses us with money to enjoy, to use, to go out to eat, and there's three commands in verse 18 here. To do good, be rich in good deeds, and be generous and willing to share. So we need to hold it with an open hand. It is all God's. He has blessed us with it. And so there's acknowledgement that some will be rich, some will have money. We need to share with others. And what does that do? It stores up treasures in heaven, and it calls it a firm foundation for the coming age. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, in Matthew 6, 21. So that backdrop of money and holding it with an open hand, then it says the next verse in verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. Now remember, in Isaiah 6, 9, and 10, there was three areas of salvation, three areas connected to salvation, heart, ears, and eyes. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So our eyes allow that light into our heart. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And last week when I talked about a pure heart being pure like gold with a singular purpose, singular in serving God only and loving our neighbor, that is what's talking about here. Single eyes that be single, not distracted with worldly wealth that is so amongst us, then we will be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Now we were born with darkness. So if your eye remains evil, it will surely be dark. Your eye is the window whereby light passes in. And it's perhaps we have the curtains drawn. Perhaps we haven't opened up the blinds. We must remove our curtain of pride and selfishness and allow Jesus' light to shine into our hearts. For no man can serve two masters. You can't be coming to church. You can't be testifying of God and living a life otherwise, or holding your finances in a tight fist and not sharing with those around us. It doesn't go. You can't serve two masters. We are called to store up treasures in heaven by helping the poor. Ears are also our gatekeepers, like the eyes are. They determine what passes into our mind and feeds our desires, which results in choices. If we're too busy with the cares of this life and the noise going on around us, then we may not hear when God speaks in a still small voice. We need to enter into our closets and time alone with God, sometimes praying, sometimes listening. Do we have times like that? Do we hear God speaking? Troxell says, the constant stream of words we hear can eventually shape the words we choose and the actions we take. Do you find wrong words coming out of your mouth? Who are you hanging out with? What's your workplace like? The words we hear will weave their way into our hearts, especially if we aren't paying attention. What music are you listening to? Most of what we soak in from the world passes through our eyes and ears. There is no escape from all the media by which the temptations of the world find their way into our hearts. There is also no escape from the ready alliance between the world's attraction and the sin in our hearts. We must be on constant alert to ensure that we are managing technology in our life and not allowing it to manage us. Christ must be Lord of all that we see and hear, even digitally. So, my next section, I'd like to talk about the ambassador of your heart, the mouth. Matthew 15:18. But those things that proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. The mouth operates with unparalleled access. It has direct line to our heart's private chambers, which means that it also is also one of the best indicators to measure the heart's health. And so perhaps there's something in your life you don't want to slip out. What would that be? I think we should deal with it. And that's the Holy Spirit talking to you. If you know there's something you don't want others to hear, I don't say you need to confess it publicly, but those are areas you need to deal with where God is speaking to you in your heart. That is the Holy Spirit. It is freeing to live a pure life, to have a pure heart, and to not have a secret sin, and to live in freedom and truth, and not have to worry about what comes out, not be telling lies. Luke 6:43-45. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. What we dwell on will come out. We can't bring back words we have said wrongly. Once they're out, they're out. We need to be careful what we say, because words can hurt, words can damage, and the damage is done. Or words can heal. Words can encourage. We can encourage one another with our lips and words. The heart and mouth are both needful for salvation. We read that in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's like fleshing it out. I believe it, I'm going to confess it. And so it's fleshing out our faith in God. What about hypocrisy? Matthew 15:7-8 says, ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. God knows the hypocrite. Jesus often spoke to them. A hypocrite's religion is a thin layer of veneer to cover up the cheap, inferior material below. If our words measure the heart's true condition, then also empty words expose the heart's hypocritical state. In closing, I'd like to leave with you looking to God, the keeper of our heart. And we also have the Holy Spirit as our helper, John 14:16. In Jesus' prayer for his believers, I have a portion of it up here in John 17. That's just a portion of Jesus' prayer for all believers. Verses 9 to 15, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and all thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and those things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. I hope that encourages you that we have someone watching out for us. 2 Timothy 1:12, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm going to leave you with Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. And I was also reminded of when Satan came to God to tempt, to talk about Job, how that he said that God had a hedge around Job to protect him. I believe the same is true for his believers. He keeps us. He watches over us. He has a hedge around us. I'd like to pray at this time. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for we can have a pure heart. We can have hope in you. We are born a sinner. We are all messy. We are all bent towards evil, and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is in us. Transform us. Help for us to have pure thoughts and minds and hearts that serve you. Guard our eyes and ears. Help us, God, to make right choices in what we take in. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.